All right, merry middle of December to you all. We are coming to you today on a unseasonably warm winter's day here in Nashville. And anybody that has a problem with that, I don't understand you. Why would you want it to be colder? Okay. 72 all year long, sunny, you know what I'm saying? No snow. I got no use for snow. Rain would be nice to keep us out of the drought. But other than that, I got no problem with rain. I don't like cold, okay? So if you have a problem with it being warm in December, just head north. You'll find it. Just head that way, you know? But for one Tennessee guy, hey, it can be 60 degrees in December and you won't hear a peep out of me. But that's about it for the weather. I don't know why I always start off talking about the weather. It's like the most surface level searching for service conversation that you can possibly have. So how's the weather over there at your in your area? Well, I don't know. You live right down the street from me. What do you think the weather's like? So another episode, another Nashville conversation coming to you from my house here. And this is Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones. Thank you for coming by and checking out the podcast. If this is your first time joining us, we do appreciate it and hope that you enjoy today's show. And that if you do, show us some love on the Instagram or Twitter or whatever and let me know what you thought about it, what you liked and everything and didn't like. And just hold that comment to yourself. I don't really want to know what you didn't like. But subscribe, man. Hit the button. Come join our crazy little cult here of podcast conversations coming to you from our little fair city of Nashville. That's what this is. Hope you guys are having a good day. I'm excited for today. I think I'm going to learn something today, man. I got the return of the Jedi. Oh. Mr. Josh Taylor.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Taylor.
Has returned back. Has returned to smarten me up about all things Star Wars.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Consider it Star Wars therapy, okay? Because here's my problem, all right? I'm not the best science fiction guy, okay? I have a hard time following the story sometimes. Like, I get nonfiction a little easier. But when it gets to be fiction, it gets harder on me. It has to at least appear real. It can be fiction as long as I think it's real. So that's fine. But I'm excited because there's a new Star Wars movie coming out within when, Josh?
I think it comes out on the 16th, not this coming Friday, but the next Friday. I don't know when you're going to release this, so, but yeah, I think it's December 16th.
Hey, it might release today. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there watching it just like I was last year. And I've seen all the other ones, including the one with Jar Jar, which I don't know why everybody hates Jar Jar, but that's just my opinion.
Didn't you and Callie get into a long thing one time about this? I heard about this.
Yeah, but she's showing me the movies, and then she's criticizing me for the characters that I'm liking. And I'm like, what? Jar Jar's got more heat than anybody. I didn't know that Jar Jar was such a heat-seeking missile, but that sucker, buddy, he...
She showed you the movies and then was making fun of you for enjoying them.
Yes, exactly. And Callie, you want to come on the show and defend yourself? You just let me know. But you did that to me.
This no. podcast like just becomes you responding to people that have been on the show before, and then it's like a never-ending cycle.
Yeah. So we had about a 20-hour, well, we had 40 hours total of driving to do. So naturally, we were looking for things of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And Phoebe brought her full set of Star Wars stuff. I think it was Danny's, but we started from the top. And I did really enjoy the older ones just because I like history and I like things that are from the past, like from the 70s. And mm-hmm. That's just, I love to see what the Earth was like a long time ago before we had certain things.
Yeah.
You know? And like now I feel like a lot of movies sort of blend together because the technology is just moving so fast.
Hmm.
But back then it was like, to me to watch like Gone with the Wind is not just watching a movie. It's watching like a glimpse into that era of time.
Yeah.
Even though they're doing a fictional, I'm not talking about the era in which the movie was set in. I'm talking about the era in which
the movie was made. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and like 80s movies, like if you watch, and they have those big giant phones and
80s movies have like such a weird feel to them.
Oh, I love it.
And like
it.
The music is so wild. And
yeah. And the like cars.
All
look
the
all crazy.
Like John Hughes movies.
Yep. I love all that stuff. What was the one with, oh, well, what was his name? Shoot, I'm helping this conversation quite a bit right now. No, the guy that was in, is that the one where he had the boombox at the end?
Oh, Say Anything?
Yes, yeah. There we go. Like that one. You know, it's just like such an interesting movie to me. Looking at all the old cars and the
yeah,
and just the clothes and the hair. And
have you seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yes, I have.
I think it's my favorite comedy.
Dude,
I just love that movie so
it's
much.
It's so good. That movie is, I swear, I've lived some of those. Everybody has.
Like, I don't really like comedies that much. I'll watch them like once and be like, yeah, that's pretty funny, and then just never think about them again. But that movie, I could just watch over and over. I think it's hilarious.
Dude, we watched it. That's the first time I saw it was another Van movie with Cal, I guess.
There you go.
And him, and gosh, it's so funny.
It's a good one.
The hotel gimmick when they're, I mean, John, is it John Candy? I love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, John Candy, Steve Martin.
One of my favorite stories is in the middle of the Super Bowl, right? And the game is like 3 points difference or something, maybe 4 points. They got to have a touchdown to win, right?
Mm.
And maybe a minute and a half left in the game, and Joe Montana goes, hey, there's John Candy. And he can see him like on the other side of the field smoking a cigar by the goalpost.
That's funny.
And this is like right before this epic historic drive.
That's awesome.
But he's like, he popped all the boys in the huddle because like, hey, there's John Candy over there.
I've not heard that. That's funny.
Yeah, he was just chilling at the Super Bowl. And then they went down there and they scored.
He wanted to get closer to John Candy.
Yeah, he had to shake his hand.
He's only like, we got to get down the field so I can go meet John Candy.
That's what they did. But I'm like, Uncle Buck, that's another one.
Yeah.
Dude, what a great one, man. Well, I'm glad you – I feel like, Josh, you don't – you're an entertainment buff kind of like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love – even the stuff I don't understand, I love all parts of it.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's like – okay, there's a lot of stuff to life, you know? But at the end of the day, there's very few things that, like, really matter. So it's like family and food and laughing to me. Those are like my three things. Friends, you know, like how many, all my great experiences in life happened with loved ones, close, whatever, friends or family. Food was around and we were laughing, you know? So if that's happening.
The four F's of life.
Yeah.
Family, food, football. And
funny.
And friends.
Yeah.
And the five. And funny.
Yeah. So all the other stuff is, I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, I used to think that getting to play a really, in front of a big audience or something and to be accepted and applauded or whatever, like that was going to be sort of a different kind of drug. But you know what? Like that is nothing compared to if you're sitting at a table and eating some food, watching a ball game or something and everybody's just laughing.
You start to get older and you think about things differently than you did before.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It never did do it though. You know, the crowds thing, it just is like, okay, wow. This is a job. I forgot, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I thought this was going to be a little more, I don't know, spiritual or something. And it wasn't. So
thought the Lord would meet me here.
Yes. He led you there, but did he cut you loose? But, well, let's get into it, man. Here's my history, okay?
Yeah.
I did not, my dad's not big a movie guy, really. Like,
okay.
I've watched like three movies with my dad in my life. And like one of them was The Green Mile. You know what I mean? So we sat there and watched it. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, just like I remember all of them because it's just what.
Right.
My mom watches a lot of movies. I watch a lot of movies with her, but so nobody showed me Star Wars as a kid or nothing. And we kind of were coming up in the late 90s when there was kind of in between from like the original movies and then the remake movies. And there wasn't like Star Wars toys on every corner. Like there is right now. Like it's like 2-year-old kids know about Star Wars now. And it's like obviously their parents are.
That's true. I guess this toys kind of kicked back in heavy when The Phantom Menace was about to come out. That was like 99.
And I remember hearing about that movie going to come out. I'm like, ooh, this is big.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even tell you why it was big.
Right.
I just knew like, I knew the cultural significance of Star Wars, but I had never, I didn't know the storyline. I didn't know the situation.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know the actors or nothing. I don't know the characters. Right now, I don't hardly know the characters. Honestly, the characters I know the best are the ones from the most recent movie.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, it's the freshest in your head.
Yeah, so I liked... is it... what's the girl's name?
Ray.
Ray and the young black guy. What was his name?
I'm blanking on his name, too, right at this moment.
Oh, he was a number. Wasn't his name a number?
Yeah, but they... Oh, Finn.
My gosh. Yeah, Finn. I really liked Finn and Ray. Like, they're... I think they really booked themselves a great, like, new generation in that movie, which was kind of surprising. I didn't see that coming. Because, I mean, it's like in wrestling. Like, how many times can you bring the legends out there before you have to come up
with... It's hard to develop new characters.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
It's the hardest part.
Yeah.
It's the hardest part of entertainment. Because everybody loves, you know, whatever, the people that they already know.
Yeah.
But to be the next guy that really gets over, that's the hardest thing. Because you're always compared to everything else. But, so... I enjoy, and then of course, you know, learning about, you know, Luke's history and like where he's been, and so that's kind of where I'm at. Is like I'm most clear with what's going on from the most recent movie.
Yeah,
but the other three.
So you enjoyed The Force Awakens?
Yeah, I sure liked it.
Okay,
see, I did.
I think that there was criticism of that movie, but it seems like the people that weren't like super into Star Wars, like guys like you. Like, enjoyed the movie. Like, it was like, oh, I really enjoyed the character. Like, I've had conversations like what we're talking about now with other people, too. And I think that, like, what you're saying is right, that developing characters is, like, the hardest part. And so just the fact that when they made that movie, that J.J. Abrams, the guy who directed it, like, came up with good, like, two or three or four, like, just really interesting characters that you want to follow and you root for, or that even that you root against, like a guy like the bad guy Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
And I just think if nothing else, he did a really good job of developing these new characters and making it so that when that movie ends, you're like, wait, well, what are they all going to do next? And so it's not even just what's going to happen next in Star Wars. It's like, oh, what's going to happen to Rey, or... oh my gosh, is Finn okay? Or what's Kylo going to do now that he killed his father? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
All these things. I think that they just did a really good job. So that's cool to hear that you enjoyed it. Because I know, you know, just from talking to you from before, before this Force Awakens came out and stuff about Star Wars, like, yeah, you know, I just go see it with my buddies if they want to go, but you don't really care. So it's cool to hear that you enjoyed the movie too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm their target audience. I mean, I'm the casual fan.
Mm-hmm.
So... for them to make money, they need me.
Right.
You know, they're going to get the money that they know they're going to get
is
the money from the people that already like Star Wars.
Right.
Now, the money that they're trying to make extra, that's me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
they want to make a movie that is going to be so good you want to go see it again, too, because then you double that money, too.
Oh, I totally would have saw that again, you know, just to even, like, catch up on it more, because I'm sure I missed a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like... one thing that happened in that movie, and if we work backwards, it's fine, is it surprised me that now we were in, it was like a Sunday. I think the movie might have came out either that week or the previous week. I don't remember. I think it was probably that week for it to be so packed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those situations where, like, dude, you had to get there like 30, 40 minutes early to even find a seat.
Yeah.
And
where did you guys go see it?
Franklin.
Oh, the Franklin Theater,
And, it was the one at Thoroughbred. That's what it was.
That's a nice theater.
Yeah, and I got a buddy that has the hook up.
Uh-oh.
So that's the only time we can go to the movies. So he...
I was going to say, why'd you drive all the way down to Franklin to see a movie?
Because my buddy had the hook up. So, and he's going to hook us up for this one, too. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's...
look at you, man.
I don't know how he's doing it, but I'm not asking no questions.
Does he work down there? Or he just...
no.
He's just a hustler.
He just knows somebody.
Wow.
He's got a connection, bro. I don't know what it is.
That's cool. Good for you, man.
I think he's a Freemason or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so we go, and I'm like, holy cow. This is like movie phenomenon that I've never really been a part of. Mm. Where I've never been to a movie where it was sold out in a movie theater before, really. And we go in there, and there's guys in costumes, and there's kids taking pictures of the costume guys. And, like, it is a mob scene. Like, there is so many people trying to pile into this one theater. And it was the biggest theater in the place. And we just barely found a seat, like, way over, like, away from our friends because we were a little late.
Mm.
And I learned my lesson on that. But okay, the part in the movie when I knew it was serious is when they found the old Millennium Falcon and the whole place popped.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like the freaking Millennium Falcon got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Right in the theater, and I was like, "Whoa, what the? What am I? What is that?"
Well, it's a good reveal because the joke in the original trilogy is that it's supposed to be kind of funny or ironic or however you want to say that, because like if you're just looking at the ship just as us as people, normal people watching this movie, think, "Oh, that's a really sweet looking ship," but in the world of Star Wars, "Oh, that's a piece of crap. Like that's a piece of junk. It's a terrible ship."
That thing, I remember that.
Right. Yeah. So that's why that reveal is kind of funny, because before you see it, they're like, "What about that ship?" And like points off screen, like, "Oh, that ship is garbage," or whatever. So it's like a quick 5 second before foreshadowing or whatever. So then when it's revealed, it's like, "Oh, right, I should have seen that coming," because they mentioned it was a piece of garbage. You know what I mean?
But the people they applauded. Like, it's like that was, you know, when somebody like an artist comes on stage or whatever, and the band's already out there, and then the singer comes on stage.
Yeah,
that's how it was. I was like,
that was a new experience for you. You never been out there, people freaking out.
I didn't know the ship from another ship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, "Oh, well, what's wrong with that one?" Now, once I saw it, the toys and everything that I've seen in my life, it came back.
You remembered,
like, "Oh, that's the one, that's the previous ship." Like, I totally was following what was going on. But to me, it was like when a wrestler that you know, that you're his music hits and it's unexpected and you just pop out of your seat.
Yeah.
Because you didn't expect you were going to see that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was like. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
So this is like if The Rock shows up to a match and you don't expect him coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's
that's interesting that your comparisons are all like to wrestling.
They are. I swear.
I think that's cool. I think that's
they all are, man. And it's a weird thing. So that's what I know best, I guess, when it comes to entertainment. But anyway, so the crowd pops when they see the Millennium Falcon, and like, "Oh, that thing's really over." Like, you know, people know what that thing is. And I mean,
you start to get scared. You're like, "Wait, hang on, I don't know."
Oh, I was definitely out of the situation. But if you haven't seen this movie and we're spoiling stuff for you, shame on you, because the freaking thing is labeled Star Wars Movie Podcast. So don't give me your hate tweets if we spoiled anything for you. Watch the movie before you listen to the podcast.
Don't send Taylor those hate tweets.
Yeah. I get hate tweets from time to time, and usually I just retweet them.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Or just people critical of something I say.
Oh,
or whatever,
my goodness.
And I'm like, not necessarily from here, but just from like my opinionated tweets.
Oh, yeah. You do post some opinionated tweets.
Oh, I'm very.
People getting upset.
I'm Mr. Opinionated. See, like, I'm going to give you a reason to follow me, either because you like it or you don't like it, and you want to see what's next.
You really shifted gears. You used to be more of a football guy, but now you're a little bit more like the politics of America kind of guy.
Well, the Niners are terrible.
What else? You got to tweet about something.
Dude, they are the worst they've ever been, I believe.
I'm sorry, man.
But that being the case, you know what else, too, and we're drifting off a little bit, but football has kind of lost me a little bit because of the way that the it's been mismanaged. Like, the officiating in the whole sport across the board has been so bad that it's like, it's just, to me, it's like if you go see a movie and it was directed badly.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, this is a layup. Like, this is not a hard.
Yeah.
This movie is supposed to be a hit. Like, you would have to work to mess it up.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. Like, they're taking, just from 3-4 years ago, the NFL ratings are down.
Yeah.
Because of,
I mean, I know I watch less football than I used to.
Oh, absolutely. It used to be like must see to me, but.
And I don't even know why that is, because the Titans still suck, like, same as they always. I mean, I guess they're a little better this year, but you would think I would watch more football because of that, but I actually watch less.
But it's just, you know, I really think it has to do with there's too many injuries, and the way that they've changed the game to try to prevent injuries has added more injuries because guys are hitting low now. And so they're hitting guys in the legs more.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the concussion thing is also another real turnoff for me. Like, it's really bothering me that guys are getting hurt. And it's like, now that we know what concussions do,
right,
it really kind of upsets. Like, I don't want to see that.
And part of it too is that you don't like see the effects of those things while you're watching the game, but it's always kind of the back of your head, like, man, every time these guys are hitting their heads, because it like sort of plays into something that, like, as you like watch football as like a little kid, you're like, boy, I don't think I could ever do this. Look how hard these guys are getting hit. And then you're like, well, this is just the game. And so then you get older and you find out, oh, yeah, actually it does
Yeah, it's bad.
Mess up these guys' heads pretty bad, and then you're like, well, I kind of always thought maybe it did, but yeah. It seemed like nobody said it, so you know what I mean?
The love of the sport, like, I still play football every week. I love football, right. Like, playing it, but, like, you know, to watch it now, like, I'm turning into a casual fan because it's like, I don't have the football pack. I don't want it no more. The every game package or whatever. I used to pay for that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't need that anymore because
it's interesting how quick this is starting to change.
Yeah, we'll get back, but like everything in entertainment to me is relative.
Yeah.
You know, so like you could jump to TV to movies to sports to boxing to, you know, wrestling to whatever, and the whole idea is the same. You're trying to hold somebody's audience. For 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's what a football game's trying to do.
It's a product, like anything else, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But at the same time, I don't know. But it's like at the same time, I guess part of it too is that there's like a lack of compelling stories.
Yeah.
Like there used to be, like, I feel like the only compelling story out of this season is the quarterback in Dallas.
Right.
That's really interesting. But other than that, and other than the fact that Tom Brady is still playing as well as Tom Brady plays, like, what stories are there out there?
Well,
you know
Peyton's
what I mean?
Gone. I saw
it. That's a lot of it, too. Like, it just felt any Peyton game you watch felt like you're watching, like, a legend play or whatever. Yeah, now you just have Brady. And a lot of people don't like Brady, so you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He's the number one bad guy.
Yeah,
you know?
But he's good at what he does, so you know what I mean? Like, people, oh, the Patriots cheat. Like, okay, well, let's all just watch Tom Brady play this game and like, okay, how did he cheat on that play? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no.
he's good at what he does.
Yeah, he's my favorite quarterback ever. I mean,
he's great.
I watch that guy and it's like art.
Yeah.
You know? So, but like, getting back to what we were saying, you know, so the Millennium Falcon gets a big pop. But moving on, okay, and this is what the spoiler alert, okay, so at the end with Luke,
yeah,
okay, like,
yeah.
I didn't necessarily see that finish coming, but part of me was like, I hope that's what they do.
So
I left going, they did good. Like, they did what I hoped that they would do. They didn't leave me, like, so far on a cliff because it was a good cliffhanger because they gave you a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
But so is the next movie going to be about that, or what's the next movie going
to
be about?
So from what I've heard, and I try to avoid hearing too much about, like, what, like, I've only watched, like, one Rogue One trailer for this new movie that's coming out, but from what I've heard, the next movie picks up, like, right, like, in that same spot.
Okay, good.
So we start back on that Skull Island or whatever it's called, and we're going to see, like, what Luke has to say there. And I like the way they did that, because I saw a lot of people were upset, like, why couldn't Luke have said something, or blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's perfect, because the whole movie was about the fact that Rey had to go find Luke. She was the only one who could find Luke. And so as soon as she finds Luke, that's the end of that story.
Yeah.
And so the next movie is going to be, I'm assuming, is going to be something to the effect of Luke then starting to train Rey, which kind of, you know, makes him like the Obi-Wan Kenobi to her Luke Skywalker. And so I liked the fact that it kind of ended on that sort of cliffhanger. And I saw people just being critical of that. I was like, no, it's good the way it was, because if he had started talking and like had things that, it was like, well, now the story is not about Rey anymore. Now the story is about that Luke has something to say, when this story was about Rey, and the next movie will be about Rey and Luke, I'm assuming.
Well,
but
I mean,
don't know.
If he would have talked, where would you have pulled the plug after that?
Right. And like, that's part of it too. Like, what if the first thing he says is like, screw you, get out of here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, then it cuts off. It's like, wait, what? You know what I mean? Like,
I thought it was perfect, because the part of the cliffhanger was they gave you Luke, but didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
So if they would have not given me Luke, I would have been pissed.
Right. Well, it was good, because that's what the whole story was. Like, even the opening crawl, the first thing it says, like, Luke Skywalker is missing. So, okay, well, we got to...
There's the object of the game.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, that's why Star Wars is as good as it is. You know, you're talking about, like, wrestling, and we're talking about how football is about entertainment and stuff. But I think, really, what everything kind of boils down to is storytelling.
Yes, 100%.
And even going back as far as what you were saying, too, about, you know, the things that are important in life or whatever, I would put the idea of telling stories on that list of things, too. And this is something that I like to go back and watch, like, interviews of, like, George Lucas and stuff like that. The guy who came up with Star Wars. And he just talks about, like, the idea that, like, you know, back in the day, before there was ever, like, any written anything. You know, they were just guys who just told stories, and then the people would listen to those stories, and then they would go tell those stories to other people, and that's how, like, information was transferred back in the day. And that's how we have, like a history of, like, what these cultures were like. And so I've seen interviews where George Lucas basically says, like, you know, if I was going to make a when I made Star Wars, I was thinking if I wanted to make a movie that kind of explained, like, this point in history of the world, what kind of movie would I make? And so we made a movie basically about people that have kind of lost their way, lost their faith, in a higher calling or a higher being. And then they slowly have to find that calling. And in doing so, that kind of makes things right with the world. And so that's, like, I think that's why Star Wars has such a big appeal to people, is because it kind of tells a story that's kind of, like, just inherent, like, within all of us. And I don't remember why I started saying all that to begin with, but that's why Star Wars has the appeal that it does, I think, is because it kind of follows that classic, like, hero's journey. And that's something that we can all relate to. Like, we all want to be Luke Skywalker. We all want to be Rey or whatever. We all can relate to that because those characters, like, are hesitant and they're nervous to, like, follow the calling that they're being led to. But by the end, they have to kind of, like, swallow their fear or whatever and actually go forth and do what's they're supposed to do. So, yeah.
I love it, man. Storytelling is key, and you mentioned that, and it absolutely is. You know, when something's boring, it's just that there's a lack of story. There's nothing hooking you in.
Yeah.
The best storyline of the year was Hillary and Trump.
Oh, right. No, that's exactly right. It was like, this election was fun because it was easy to follow. Like, every day there was some new thing. It wasn't like, oh, and the legislation and the law and blah, blah, blah. It was just, hey, and then Trump tweeted this, and then Hillary said this. You know what I mean? Like, it was always, it was fun because it was like even this thing that's going on right now where he called Taiwan or whatever, and then, oh, well, the Chinese don't accept the Taiwan, blah, 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 and all that stuff. So it basically boils down to, did you hear that Valerie called Sam, and Sam's not supposed to call Valerie because Sam's dating, blah, blah. You know, like, that's all it is. It's just like, it's almost like so perfect.
Jerry Springer.
Yeah, it's like so perfect. Like, it almost feels like it's not real or something. Yeah. Like, what's actually going on that, like, this is the entertainment we're being given?
And who's the real winner in this whole thing? Freaking
the
cable,
devil.
Cable news.
Cable news.
More people are watching the freaking cable news
than
ever. Like, TV ratings are in the crapper all the way across the board. But the cable news is, with Hillary and Trump, they're like,
yeah,
go ahead.
And that's why it was so fun, because, like, you know, like, the anchors and stuff, you know, they all hated Trump or whatever, but they couldn't not report what he was doing because it was a news and it was so ridiculous, but also it was getting them ratings. So they were kind of in this tough spot where they didn't want to help this guy win by covering him all the time, but he was making them money. And since at the end of the day, the most important thing is to them is going to be making the money.
Yep.
Then they were just kind of in this tough spot. So it's just interesting.
They all got worked.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. Somebody told me, they were like, look, this is where the media went wrong in that election. All they did the whole time was tell you stuff you already knew.
Yeah.
You already knew this character was questionable.
Yeah.
So they spent, 2 years telling you his character was questionable. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
People can be studying this for, like, a really long time.
Like, we already know that about him. And the people that were going to vote for him were going to vote for him, you know, for reasons other than his character.
I thought it was fun. I thought this election was great.
That was
hilarious. I didn't even care who won. I was just, like, I was having a blast.
Yeah, it was, I'm glad it's over. That's for sure. But it was the most entertaining one.
Yeah.
So we'll leave that right there. Send your hate tweets to Real Josh Taylor or whatever his Twitter is.
All right, so back to the Millennium Falcon and the pop.
Yeah.
In the theater.
That's the only time in my life I've ever heard a pop in a theater. Okay? Except for if it's like a big, like, a comedy, you know, like.
This was a real defining moment for Taylor, I think, when the Millennium Falcon reveal. He realized something about the world that he didn't know before.
Yeah, the two scenes that I remember from the whole movie, like, was that and then the ending with Luke. So I think that's a successful deal. You know, like, if they got me remembering the finish.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Then
I mean,
they succeeded.
If you walk out of a movie and, like, months later you can vividly remember, like, what you were thinking when specific parts of it happened, then that's that means you saw something. That's always part of it, too, is, like, sometimes I think, I hated that movie or whatever, and then, like, months later, I'm still thinking about it. I'm like, well, I must not have hated it because I'm letting it occupy space in my brain.
Yes.
So at least I have to respect that about it, because 100%, how much stuff do I intake every day and I forget, like, 99.9% of it? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't even remember what I had for lunch but yesterday. Right. But, like, that's... So, okay, now this is a good point as any to... I need you to go back in time.
Go back in time.
And start at the top.
Start at the top.
And tell
original Tridge top?
Yes. Okay. And tell me, because I'm a big, like, timeline person.
Okay.
So I need to know, like, the timeline.
Yeah.
And,
well,
like,
there's not too much. I mean, if you were able to follow The Force Awakens and not feel too confused, then you're doing pretty good.
Right. So what was the main... Start off with this. This is what I need. It was a refresher course. What's the main storyline in the first Star Wars from 76 or whatever it was?
So the first storyline is it follows Luke, right? And that's why it's so important that she finds Luke, because the first three movies are all about Luke Skywalker and also Darth Vader. And so Luke Skywalker he's just this guy on this planet. He's a farmhand working with his aunt and uncle. Doesn't know anything about his parents, just knows that his father abandoned him or some odd. He lives with his aunt and uncle. He gets basically a call to action when he comes across these droids, and the droids have a message on them that says there's this princess who needs the help of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Obi-Wan Kenobi happens to be this hermit who lives on this planet that he inhabits. And so he finds Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Obi-Wan is basically telling him, like, look, you need to go with me to go have this adventure. And it's just the classic, like, hero's journey, basically, where you have, like, the unassuming, normal, everyday guy who comes across, like, a mentor, and the mentor says, you have a calling to adventure. And so he initially resists the calling, but then the stormtrooper, the Empire, basically, the bad guys of the film, they are looking for these droids because it has the plans to the Death Star on it, and the Death Star is their big weapon. And so the stormtroopers, which are, like, the army, basically, they come and they destroy Luke's home and kill his aunt and uncle. So Luke then accepts his call and goes, and that's where they find Han Solo and they find the Millennium Falcon. And that kind of kicks off the movie, and they go on a rescue mission to find the princess. So they find the princess, then they get the plans back. If you really watch A New Hope, there's not much that happens in it. Like, they go, they find the princess, they get the plans to the Rebel Alliance, and then... they blow up the Death Star, basically. But the point is that Luke has been kind of slowly learning the ways of the Force through Obi-Wan Kenobi as the movie goes on. And Obi-Wan Kenobi gets into a lightsaber battle with Darth Vader and ultimately doesn't even get beat. He just kind of gives up eventually and kind of realizes that, like, I'll be more help to Luke as, like, a ghost figure in his head than I would be to actually follow him. My whole goal here was to see the redemption of Luke Skywalker, because as you find out later, Darth Vader is actually his father. Is this all making sense so far?
Yeah. So where does because there's a couple different turns.
Yeah.
Along the way, as far as who's Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So get into his character for me. Who is he? Yeah. Where does he come from?
So yeah. So Darth Vader was also a kid on Tatooine. He was like a slave boy, and this gets into the prequels and stuff. And he has this long, convoluted, confusing, terrible story, basically, where he gets trained by Obi-Wan Kenobi, falls in love with this woman named Padme. I don't know. It's like the prequels aren't very good, so the story isn't super great. But basically, he starts being angry about things, and he's naturally upset. And he finds out that his mother's been killed, and so he goes and kills the people who killed his mother. And then ends up, Padme gets pregnant, and then he, like, tries to choke her, and then him and Obi-Wan get into a battle, and then he gets burned, and then he becomes Darth Vader. And that's kind of where it starts.
So he's burned at some point.
Yeah, that's how originally he's Anakin. He's just this guy, and then he basically gets all of his suit and armor stuff because it's basically like a lifeline. It's not just like, oh, I'm gonna be this scary dude. It's like this is like his respiratory system, basically. It's keeping that's why when he's like,
okay.
It's that's his breathing mechanism.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The prequels were tough. I think I slept a lot during the prequels.
Yeah.
In the van. I think that's part of my problem with the backstory. But
there's really not much from those movies that make the original trilogy any better.
Okay.
Like, it's just, and part of it too is that it followed the books that had been written and stuff pretty well. So a lot of people, I mean, I never read all that stuff, but I had friends who had. So they were like, oh yeah, so the trilogy is going to end with Obi-Wan and Anakin and having a fight on this volcano, and he's going to get burned and blah, blah. So I kind of knew how it was all going to end. So there already wasn't much mystery to it, because you obviously knew who Anakin was going to end up being, Darth Vader and stuff. But then if you already kind of had heard about the expanded universe stuff, then you already kind of knew the story. And so there's some interesting stuff in it. Like some of the stuff that people harp on, like all the trade disputes and the government stuff, some of that stuff is actually a little interesting in the way it all kind of plays out. But that's kind of just grasping the straws. Like overall, those movies are not very good. And a lot of it, I think, is that, and I try not to be too hard on George Lucas, because he did like come up with some like a really interesting universe, and he did a lot of really good stuff for filmmaking and all that. But I think that, as with most people, if you're kind of just unrestrained, don't have anybody telling you what to do, you're going to just put out some pretty weird stuff.
Okay, so,
and that's kind of what happened with the prequels. He was like so rich and powerful at that point that it was like, George, whatever you're going to do, just go for it. And
you're a genius.
Yeah, he had nobody telling him no, or maybe we should rethink this. And so that's kind of what you ended up with.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, we're not jumping ahead, but were you as excited for those prequels as you were for these more recent Star Wars at the time?
I mean, man, I think I was 15 when the third one came out. Were you excited for those movies, Ian, when they came out?
Yeah, I was pretty excited, but I was kind of let down by episodes 1 and 2. So by the time third,
sure,
came out,
yeah.
I was like, well, we gotta finish this.
So in case you couldn't hear Ian, he said he was excited for the first two, but by the time the third one came out, he had been disappointed so many times that he didn't want to. I remember I saw Attack of the Clones, the second one, like 3 times in the theaters for some reason. But by the third time, we were just like laughing the whole time throughout the movie. Like I remember thinking the movie was dumb when I was younger, but I also remember being excited about them too. So I don't know.
Well, it's like seeing old friends.
Yeah.
You know, going back to what I know about, which is wrestling, like you, like Goldberg, just did a match.
Mm-hmm.
He's 50 years old.
Wow.
But his heyday was 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But the whole world, as far as, was buzzing because of the word Goldberg.
Yeah.
Was back on the scene. So random people that don't watch wrestling anymore.
Right.
I saw them talking about Goldberg.
Right.
And it's because he was an iconic figure in the time when it was really, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
yeah,
wrestling was a little bit more popular than it ever was at the time that he was on it. So not necessarily because of him, but he contributed and he was there. Timing. So now he comes back and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
But like leading up to the match, he's saying, yeah, I like slipped in the ring on Monday doing nothing and hurt my shoulder. So it's like, you know, so you already know, like you're dealing with a guy who at the end of the day, he's 49 years old.
Right.
You know, he's not the same like killer that he was.
Right.
But the fans were still so excited to see him.
Sure.
Because he was familiar.
It's like a sense of community.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's your dude. And so like when you see, at the end of the day, Star Wars can take the crappiest dump in the world on a movie, but you're still not going to like,
it's still Star Wars, right?
Yeah, you're still going to be there. And Goldberg, the way they protected him in this last appearance was they really put him in the best light possible.
Yeah.
And it was like really special.
Yeah.
It didn't suck. Like I was expecting it to suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But instead it was very special. So that's kind of how like,
that's cool.
When this Rogue, or excuse me, most recent one.
Yeah. Force Awakens.
Force Awakens comes out. It was right after all those bad ones. And so I was thinking about something like, okay, I would bet this was going to suck.
Yeah.
But if it is good, then it'll be a surprise.
Right.
And that to me is kind of how it was. It was like, oh, this was not just good. It was like really good.
Sure.
You know, it didn't just, of course, J.J. Abrams, like I had a lot of faith in him at the same time.
Right. See, that's always the thing with him. I've never seen a J.J. Abrams movie that I didn't at least like enjoy.
Right.
You know, like even if I didn't like super love it or anything, I was like, I just at this point I've been so burned. I just want Star Wars to be fun. Like I remember going into it and saying, as long as this is a fun movie, that's gonna be great. But then it was actually a really good story too, and had good characters that made you invested in the next set of movies. And so it was really good. So yeah, whenever they first announced like Disney was gonna buy Star Wars and they're gonna make a new trilogy, and I was like, oh gosh, no, don't do this. And
don't kick me anymore.
Right, like I love Disney, but Disney owns Marvel, and they're all doing all those Marvel movies, which are fine. Like I enjoy them okay, but like I didn't want that for Star Wars. At the same time, like they're separate things. But when they announced that J.J. Abrams was gonna do it, I was like, okay. It wasn't just that it was going to be him doing it. It was that, okay, now I see like the mindset of the people that are going to be in charge of these movies. They actually are going to want – they're going to try and make movies that the people who enjoy Star Wars are going to appreciate, because they could have just found some odd director, but they actually grabbed J.J. Abrams, who is a big Star Wars fan. So
right. So
it's just interesting. It's been around long enough. It's kind of like that show Survivor. You watched Survivor a little bit. Baylor was on the show.
Sure was.
Survivor now in the last few years has actually gotten really good, because all the people that are on the show now are kids who grew up watching Survivor. And so you don't have just like these, oh, I'm just here to play and have fun. Now you saw people like, I have literally been watching this show since I was 8 years old. I've worked my whole life to get on this show. I'm so excited to be here. And they all come to play. And so that makes every episode like so good, because even if players aren't making good moves, they're all making moves, and it just makes it really unpredictable.
Well, they're better at the game.
Right, because that's exactly right, because there's been more every season that goes by. There's more and more like precedent for like, oh, well, you never want to do this thing because this is what happens. So the show has become like really, and it's kind of the same way with Star Wars. It's just become like really self-referential, where it's like, man, I'm about to make the first move in Survivor history that's ever been done like this or whatever. It's like the same way with Star Wars, where like Force Awakens, like one of the like things that I was probably the most critical of, it was that it was very like self-referential of like the original trilogy, and it was like, and I think part of that was like it was sort of like a crutch, like, hey, just, you know, we're having fun here or whatever, but by the time I was noticing all of these like parallels, I was like already enjoying the movie. So I was like, no, I'm already here. Like, you've already got me. You don't have to keep reminding me that like this is like the original movie.
Well,
like,
it's a safe.
I'm already on board.
It's a what do you call it? A safety grab or whatever.
Sure.
Where it's, you know, because the same thing happens in other stuff. Like you watch NFL and they mention you know, Vince Lombardi and you watch the kids in you mentioned Survivor. Like the kids in wrestling now are the same way. Like,
is that right?
Yeah, they're 25 years old, so they're my age or younger.
Yeah.
So when they watched, you know, Goldberg and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, they're 8 years old, 9 years old, like I was. So
that's crazy. Yeah.
Whereas before that, you know, the guys weren't necessarily fans so much as they were professionals.
Yeah.
You know, now like most of the wrestlers themselves are fans.
Yeah.
As well, there's very few like.
It's cool. Yeah.
People that aren't. So that's how it is probably with Survivor too.
Yeah.
I guess. But like, so.
And it's that way with Star Wars too now. Like, all the people they've got picked up to be directors for the movies, they're all people like. We went to Disney World a few months ago, and they have like, you know, they got a big Star Wars exhibit now in Hollywood Studios. And they have like this movie that plays that like talks about all the new movies that are coming out, and they just have like this like montage of all the people that are going to be directing new Star Wars movies, and they basically just one after another are like, yeah, so I remember being like 10 years old and my dad put me in a car and was like, and I was like, Dad, where are we going? He was like, you're about to see the best movie you've ever seen in your entire life, and he was taking me to go see A New Hope or whatever. Like, it's like they're all
isn't
just
that crazy. How would you even know that at the time?
Well, because he was saying like his dad had gone to see the movie and was just like blown away, and so he just like immediately came home and like got his son in the car or whatever and was just like, we're gonna go, you're about to be blown away or whatever. So it's just crazy, like all the people directing Star Wars movies now are like the kids who like were inspired to make movies because of that of the original.
Crazy?
Yeah, it's neat. It's like, it's a cool time to be alive.
Well, and it's a crazy thing that one piece of art can have such an impact.
Yeah. And again, like it just goes back to storytelling or whatever. It's just there's a certain story structure that just kind of taps into something inside of people. And like, you know, Star Wars has it, Harry Potter has it, Lord of the Rings has it. It's just like that classic hero's journey that it just works. You know what I mean? No matter how many times you do it, people love it. And Star Wars happens to be the one that grabbed people the most out of all of them.
So, do you have a favorite of the three original movies?
I just watched them recently, and I think it probably still is Empire. Empire Strikes Back.
Is that just the second one?
Yeah, I think it's the best because, and you know, have you watched Empire in a long time, Ian? Have you seen it recently? Man, I'm wondering like with Luke, like if he's gonna be a little bit more of a. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, now Ian's got the mic. Dude, I'm wondering if Luke's going to be a little bit more of like a sinister character in these movies. Like, not so much like. So, the whole Empire is about him trying to rush his training. And so, when he decides to leave to go find Han and Leia, Yoda is like, and Obi-Wan both are like, you have to stay here and complete your training or you're going to fall to the dark side. He's like, I have to go save my friends. And so, that's when. And so, he leaves. And that's and there's also a part where when he's training Yoda says a Jedi never uses violence or whatever just for self defense, and so two things: one, when he leaves at the end of Empire to go save Han and Leia, Obi-Wan says that boy is our only hope, and Yoda says no, there's another, and I think originally that was supposed to be Leia, but I think in retrospect they're kind of changing history to make that be Rey. We'll see.
Right.
But then the second thing, which is a little more interesting, is that at the very beginning of Return of the Jedi, the first thing when you see like the reveal of Luke or whatever, the first thing he does is use violence against the guards at Jabba's palace. Mm-hmm. They're not like fighting him. He just like force chokes them or whatever.
Right.
And that's the first thing. And so he's got like the black cloak and all this stuff. So I don't know. So I don't know if that was just done to kind of like within that movie make you think, oh, is Luke going to go work for the Empire and be with his dad or whatever? And so by the end he's like redeemed, or, and maybe that was what it originally was, but I'm wondering now that they're making more movies if they're going to kind of play into that a little bit, especially since it was like Luke tried to like train Kylo and stuff and he failed, if he just thinks, oh no, you know, maybe I do have this dark side within me or all this stuff.
Well, especially in Return of the Jedi, you do see a lot more of the darker side of Luke,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And where you kind of start, especially after you see the prequel trilogy,
yeah.
You start realizing really everybody in that family line has that bit of the dark side in them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even in Return of the Jedi, towards the middle, there was a time when we kind of thought, yeah, he's going to go, Luke's going to just join up.
Right.
He's going to be under the Emperor's teaching now.
Right.
And you're right. There was kind of that moment of redemption in kind of the last fight scene, mm-hmm. between Luke, the Emperor, and Darth Vader, where really it was Darth Vader's redemption.
Right. See, that's the thing. The end of that movie, like, isn't Luke's redemption. It's Darth Vader's redemption.
Exactly.
So Luke doesn't have that moment of finality or whatever at the end of the movie. So I'm wondering, like, if now this new trilogy is going to kind of explore that. I don't know. That's what's the most interesting to me about episodes 8 and 9 is seeing like what they actually do, because there's a lot of layers to that, and I hope that they'd make it more interesting than just like make Luke like an Obi-Wan character where he's like, you need to learn the ways of the Force, right? And you know what I mean?
Well, I kind of see Luke following this last movie, The Force Awakens, which was basically just a remake of A New Hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that kind of makes Luke Yoda.
Yeah, or...
kind
yeah,
of,
okay.
But he's still Luke, obviously. But as far as the role, it's Rey going to Dagobah,
right?
basically,
that's true enough. Yeah, true enough.
So
that's true. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Because I guess in my head he's more of like Obi-Wan, but I guess with that sort of thing, it is like she traveled there or whatever to go find him and start her training.
Right.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't know. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good. Thank you for that. Thank you for those thoughts, Ian.
There you have it. There's somebody that actually...
Your producer is...
Actually knows the product.
He's the Star Wars man.
Yep.
I love it.
That's why I keep him around.
But, I mean, yeah, there's a lot they can do, man. Like, it's going to be interesting. And from everything I've heard about this next script, like, you know, normally in, like, a three-act story, the second act is the darkest one. Like, it's the one where it has, like... It normally ends with like some sort of resolution, but with this foreboding sense of like, but we might have won the battle, but we are going to lose the war. Like the odds are stacked against us, and so that's why I'm most excited for episode 8. Because just following that classic structure or whatever, like Empire was the best Star Wars movie. That doesn't really follow the prequels because I think Attack was probably the worst of the three prequels, even though it was the second one. But that's because it didn't like have that like darkness to it. It was just weird. If anything, it was like the lightest of the three in a way, like because of how obnoxious the romance stuff was. Anyways, sorry, man. I know that you... Taylor like fell asleep during these movies, so he doesn't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I did fall asleep in those. You're right about that. Okay, so here's my last question. Okay, why does Jar Jar have so much heat?
Man, yeah, so here's the thing. Like, I was young enough when those movies came out that I just was like, all right, there's a character. You know what I mean? Like, how old was I? I would have been like 11 or something. So like in my mind, it's just holy crap, new Star Wars, this is exciting. It wasn't until I was a few years older. That I noticed, like, oh wait, do people not like this movie? And I was like, why? And then I watched, and it was around the time that Attack of the Clones was about to come out that I started really noticing this. And so I watched it again, and I was like, I can see why people think this is kind of weird. And then Attack of the Clones comes out, and just all the romance, it was just also like the stuff with Anakin and Padme is just so awkward. It was like, I was trying to be like an apologist for the prequels. It's like, no, but they're going to be good. Like, they're going to show this struggle. But then it was like impossible to defend how terrible that was. And so then in retrospect, I was like, yeah, I guess Jar Jar was pretty goofy. I don't know. Like, I guess all that to say, I didn't care as much about Jar Jar like in like a hate-filled way as other people. Like, other people were just like so betrayed by it.
They were like personally insulted.
What do you think about Jar Jar, Ian?
Well, I thought overall you kind of had the introduction of a main character who was 100% CGI. So I think that's number one why people did not like it, because you know, original trilogy, you had monster-ish characters like Chewbacka that they were main characters, but they were people.
It was like indicative of like a bigger problem. It was like he was like, yeah, that's a metaphor for like why this movie sucks,
right? Because everything went to CGI instead of models, and so it's easy to throw blame on him because he's literally the voice of the CGI.
Sure,
but then he also just brought along a much goofier style of writing. Part of what I really liked about the new movie that came out is they brought back the old writers.
Yeah.
And so you had all the comedy was far wittier and far more true to the original trilogy, whereas, you know, the comedy brought in that first film was just so over the top cheesy at times to appeal to the new younger crowd to try to get new kids involved in the film.
Right.
So I wasn't as much a fan of it for that reason.
That was always the thing that he used to defend it, like when people were like, why are the prequels kind of like, why is Phantom Menace so goofy? And he was like, well, because it's a movie for kids. And it was always silly because like, okay, well, Revenge of the Sith is not a movie for kids.
No.
It's like, I mean, if it wasn't still kind of so goofy, it would be pretty like terrifying movie. Like you're just kind of watching, like it's like Breaking Bad style. It's like you're just watching this guy like deteriorate until he's basically just like there's nothing left of him. I don't know.
Well, especially when you get to the end of the first film, it does get a little darker with like Qui-Gon dying and everything. Phantom Menace, I mean. But
I still like that battle. Like for all the problems with the prequels, I enjoy and I get like the criticism that like, you know, it's too choreographed or whatever. But it's still like a cool scene. And like and part of it is that Obi-Wan is kind of the focal point of that scene. And Obi-Wan is my favorite character from the prequels. Like Ewan McGregor did a really good job, I feel like, in those prequels. Like he did as good of a job as he could.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, even Natalie Portman. I just feel like I just feel like they didn't have anything to work with, and like even the best actors, like unless they have like a director who like is like a character director,
and
like
better writers,
and better writers. J.J. Abrams is a great character, like actors director. Like
yes,
I've never seen a bad performance from an actor in a movie that he's in. He's really good at that.
Well, Ray, you know, he made her cry first day on the set.
Oh, did I have not heard the story?
I can't remember what exactly he told her, but he said something about her acting was like cardboard or something like that.
Really? Interesting.
Like day one, she's in her trailer in tears.
That's so interesting.
He pulls out some very great qualities out of actors. He's great at coaching actors like that.
You would think that like, oh, this is kind of weird, just because like I have a YouTube channel or whatever, and so like I obviously we just do goofy stuff or whatever, but we are acting or whatnot, and so it's just interesting to like do that kind of stuff and realize like, you know, anytime anybody is in a movie, they're just like when my brother or my wife or whoever is in a scene and I'm just directing them on what to do and like saying, ooh, now say it with this inflection, now do this, and then I go. And I've just always done that. And then when I go and watch like behind the scenes stuff of like how directors do things, they're just doing the exact same thing. Like, oh, now it's not like the actors are like, let me try it this way. Like they will do that sometimes, but a lot of times it's just the director saying, hey, put the emphasis on the last word of this sentence. And they're just getting like takes and take. Like in animated movies, that's all it is just, all right, say this line 10 times, 10 different ways, and we'll use one of them in 3 years. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But he's really good at that. And that's why I was so excited about him doing it, because they needed to set up good characters for this new set of movies, and I knew that he was good at setting up characters really well, and so I was excited about it, and it worked out. He did a good job.
So I've got two questions for you,
okay.
And then I'm going to pass the mic back to Taylor and let y'all kind of wrap up the show.
Okay.
First of all, what do you think about, and I'll ask both of them,
yeah.
And then you can just answer both.
Oh, I'm ready.
What do you think about Kylo Ren being kind of a much wimpier version of Darth Vader?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then secondly, I don't know if you knew this, but Harrison Ford wanted to kill off Han Solo in the first movie.
Yeah, that's right.
And every film that they'd make, he would beg George Lucas, please kill Han Solo.
Right.
That would mean so much.
Yeah.
So we just want to hear your take on both of those things.
Han Solo. Yeah. We really like. I feel like we should have probably seen his death coming, because that was kind of always the thing, the joke throughout the years was like, yeah, Harrison Ford hates Han Solo or whatever. So when he started doing like PR for the movie and he was getting so excited, oh yeah, Abrams did a really good job with the script and it's really good and stuff. And I was like, man, they must be paying him a lot. Either this movie is like amazing or they're paying him a lot. But never in my head did it really strike me to think, oh, they're just gonna kill Han Solo and that's why he's so excited about this movie. And what was the other thing you were asking? Oh yeah, no, I think Adam Driver is great. Like Kylo Ren is a great villain, because you didn't get the depth from Darth until the second movie, and even then it wasn't super like the depth that you just kind of got the foreshadowing of the depth, and you got like the reveal that he's the father, and that kind of brought subtext to the first movie and stuff. Like, well, why is he chasing this kid around and doing all this stuff? You know what I mean? And then you find those things out in Return of the Jedi, but in The Force Awakens, you get all of those nuances and stuff from the beginning, like almost from like the first scene, like when Kylo Ren comes out and the Jedi who he's about to kill is like just being openly defiant to him, to his face or whatever, and you can tell like you're not going to defy me, I'm going to kill you, you know what I mean? And like it's good character setup, and to me a good villain is like one that has an interesting story, not one that's just like evil or whatever. And so it was important for him to kill his father, because now we all hate Kylo, like, because he killed an important character that we all care about. And so, like, when they stepped out onto that bridge or whatever, and I leaned over to Kelly, and I was like, he's going to kill Han Solo, and it's going to be perfect. Like, that's what's going to suck about this scene, is, like, Han Solo's about to die, but this is going to be perfect because it's setting up perfectly for the next movie. I think he's great. I think he's a great villain. I like that he feels wimpy and that he feels angry and, like, he's not good enough. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool, because that's going to make his redemption, assuming he gets redemption, that's going to make his redemption much more important and impactful than rather if he was just like a one-dimensional villain.
Well, Kylo definitely got the rub for killing Han, so he's immediately over as like a really bad dude.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how you get somebody over. You have them kill one of your main guys.
It's great. I can't imagine like filming a scene like that, because it's like so important to get it right. I wish that you could just like watch, just like uncut, uncensored or whatever, just like footage, like for like the 2 or 3 hours I'm sure they stood there and shot that scene. I feel like it'd be really interesting to watch.
Man, it definitely would. I love that behind the scenes stuff.
I do too, man. I love it. I eat it up.
Sideline coaching and what's leading up to what we're actually going to see. Yep. And, well, brother, I appreciate you coming by and lending us your expertise.
Oh boy. This was a lot of fun.
The Jedi. Return of the Jedi.
Thank you, Ian, too, for chatting a little bit too. It was fun having another big Star Wars guy.
Yeah, man. He's been killing it on this podcast thing the last few weeks.
This is much more professional setup now than we had last time. I mean,
yeah, bro.
He's checking levels for you. We're in his nice new studio area.
He mixes it and stuff after we're done.
He really does?
Yep.
What a cool guy.
Yep. So it's making it, you know, Josh, we're trying to get legit with this thing.
Oh, you're doing a great job.
I got more time now too than I used to dedicate to it. So it's
I love this podcast. It makes it easy to keep up with what you're up to and stuff. I really enjoyed the podcast you did a few weeks ago where you were talking about kind of like the Vespers and what was going on and stuff. That was really interesting. It wasn't really too much that I hadn't heard from you guys already, but it was just nice to kind of hear it unfiltered just from you talking to yourself a little bit about it, because I feel like you get sort of like a little bit more of like a guarded but also more honest view when you're like just sitting there on a mic talking to yourself about it, because it's like you're trying to like, okay, I want to, how do I say this in a way that I'm going to be okay with going out there? But at the same time, you're just talking to yourself. So it really is kind of just like your thoughts.
Well, that's, you know, my favorite podcasts are the ones when the guys are almost like brutally honest.
Yeah.
And it just is like the magnetism of not knowing what the person's going to say. And
yeah.
So I don't want to be one of those people or whatever, where it's like, or you're a lightning rod on purpose. But I also do want people to understand, like, you know, if I say it, like, I'm not scared to tell you that I'm not a political correct person. So, like, I'm just going to tell it how I see it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can send your hate mail right away. You know, that's fine. But, like, most people receive that and they go, well, dude, that's just a guy's opinion. And at least he had the guts to tell you his real opinion.
Yeah.
And with that particular episode in particular, that was kind of a touch and go and scary one. But
yeah,
I felt like it was important. It's easy for to be in that situation and think everybody already knows everything. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, most people don't.
Sure.
They're like, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where the conversation stops.
Right.
You know, so I just try to give my two cents on my perspective of it. So,
yeah.
But, hey, man, I'm trying to learn from you guys. You know what I'm saying? You guys are the kings. And
we don't even have a band, though, Taylor.
But you got yourself a brand.
That's true. I got you might add an band, R there.
You know, but you got a brand. Guess what? It's more important than having a band.
I'm gonna put that on a t-shirt. May not be a band, but I've got a brand.
Dude, yes. There's a big difference. Me and Judah were talking about this on the podcast, but it's one thing to be in the band, it's another thing to be in the brand. Think about that.
Like you That's can, heavy.
You can be
That's
in
heavy.
The band and be a total side man and not in any of the pictures. But when you're in the brand, your face is everywhere, bro.
Yeah.
And you got some equity then.
Oh, man.
So that's what this way this crazy music business works.
I hope that after a little bit of time passes, you guys kind of do what a lot of bands do. You guys took some time or whatever, and it's like, let's just put it together. You guys are kind of in a... Yeah, take a video.
Yeah, we got to get a little video action here. Quick, find something interesting to say.
I hope that you guys, end up finding a place where you could, yeah, we got a little bit of time here. We can put together some new music, and you get that fire again to like work on some stuff again. I hope that happens, but if it doesn't, like you guys are all great, and
we had a good run anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope that happens too, because it's a lot of fun. But
yeah. Anyway. I love having new music. When you guys tell, whenever you guys would say, "Oh, we got a new track coming out" or whatever, I get so excited. So,
we'll see what we can put together. But
maybe put together like a Christmas album. You got a few weeks.
There's rumors of a rumors of a hymns record, perhaps.
What?
So
for real? Hey, you don't have to write them.
Just yeah.
Yeah. You got to record them.
No, that's what we're hoping for. But anyway, Josh, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited about this hymns record. Confirmed. This is very exciting.
No. Announcement.
Thanks, Taylor. It's always fun coming hanging out with you, man.
Yeah, well, folks, appreciate you again for tuning in to our Star Wars Week special here with the Jedi, Josh Taylor. He knows a lot about it, and was the first guy I thought to call on such a time as this. So, man, I'm having a lot of fun doing this with you guys. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Definitely hit me up on the social media stuff. All my social media is Nashville Niner. And follow Josh at, what's your thing?
Dear Future Josh.
Dear Future Josh. There you go. On every social media that you got. That's branding. That's branding, folks.
I mean, I have a band, but I've got a Twitter.
And a brand. He's got a brand. Go follow Blimey Cow. Who doesn't know about Blimey Cow in 2016 anyway? They got like 100,000, you know what I'm saying, They're big. Go follow them. Okay. They do funny stuff every single week, and they've all been on the show just about. So
has Jordan been on the show?
Yeah.
Have I heard that one?
You
I
need to go look it up. Bro.
I feel like I heard it, but I forget.
Yeah, he's been on it.
You gotta have Kelly on the show now.
I know. That would be her perspective has to be really interesting in between you two guys.
It'd be fun if Kelly was on the show. I don't know what she would say. It'd be funny.
Oh, dude.
Let me tell you about what Josh says.
She'd be great.
He's terrible.
She'd be great. I'll come to you, Kelly. It's no problem. I'll meet you where you're at. We'll make the Blimey trilogy. All right, this is it. We're wrapping up. Sayonara. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.